When we turn into the Word, we discover a great deal of truth contained in it. And I want to share with you some of the beautiful expressions that our Lord Jesus used in the book of John. For those of you visiting with us, we've been studying the book of John in this service together. And it is a fascinating study. We're just hitting it in different places. We're not particularly going through a whole section here. We are meeting just the needs here and there and looking at the scriptures in this way. Let me share with you then some of the things here that are contained in John 14. I want to address your attention very especially to the area where John, recording what Jesus has said, in verse 3 of 14, he says this, "I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now this is the expression of our Lord Jesus. And he simply is saying, I have a mission. And part of that mission is to go and prepare a place for you. Look at it very carefully, because the scripture would teach us that there are many things involved here. Just as you all know, but let me remind you that Satan is always seeking his very best to turn us away from thinking that God has prepared a place for us. Now, I'm going to die unless Jesus Christ comes from heaven to receive me before my death comes, which means my air will stop being circulated in my lungs, my blood will stop flowing, and my heart will have stopped pumping. My body will be dead. My children will lay that body in the grave, and it will disintegrate in the grave. It came from the dust, it'll return to the dust, and that's death. But Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you." That is, when this body is laid in the grave, my spirit is free. Free to take up its celestial body and to live forever with the Lord. And Jesus said, according to this verse 3 of John 14, "I go ahead of you to prepare the place that when you come, you will be with me." You may not be in familiar surroundings, but you will have a dear friend. You will have a wondrous Lord. You will have a magnificent Savior. You will have God the Son with you. Now then, with that briefly in mind, let's understand that all the concentrated intelligence of Satan is out in this world trying to deceive the world and trying to cause the world not to believe that there is a life after death, not to believe that we live forever with the Lord when we trust the Lord, not to believe that there is a place prepared for us. This is what the scriptures tell us, and this is what Satan is doing. When people say this to you, for instance, "Well, there's no difference. We're all the same. We're all getting towards the same God." That's a great indication that Satan has deceived that person. When people say, "It doesn't matter what you believe, so long as you believe," is another deceitful thing. Satan's concentrated intelligence is out seeking to deceive men and women. Now, in order, when he deceives us, what he actually does, he robs us. Because so many of us turn away from God and we don't have the desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, today you need him. So that when your body is laid to rest, you can say, "Absent from this, present with him." Now, Satan has many devices. He has all kinds of wonder-working powers. He can so easily transform himself. He can blind our eyes to saving truth. A man not long ago was discussing with me his salvation, and he had tremendous arguments. And I eventually said to him, when you stop arguing, you will be able to receive Christ. But whilst you argue, you will never receive Christ. And if you told me you had received him, very likely I would doubt it was possible. Satan causes all kinds of blindness, and he steals the saving truth from the hearts of men and women. Now, with that in the background, let's see this beautiful expression of Jesus. I go to prepare a place for you. Go to the original language, the Greek, excuse me, and you will quickly discover that there is a root idea here. Jesus was saying, learn to take over from another. Learn to take over from another. He is speaking of reunion with Christ. It goes on that he will take you to be face to face with me. The words in the original language tell us to take over from another. I go to prepare a place to take over from another, that where I am, there ye may be also, and will take you to be face to face with me. Now let's look at this. Jesus says, I am taking over from Satan. I am taking over from your life. I am going to heaven to prepare a place for you. There is a sense in which I am taking over from God the Father so that you can have a place prepared for you. And the reason for this is I will take you to be face to face with me. Face to face with me. And the beautiful illustration of Song of Solomon is that there is the bride and there is the bridegroom, and the two are in love, and they are face to face in love. And the beauty and magnificence of this intimacy is here, right in this very expression of Jesus, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, says Jesus, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Look at verse 3. Look at it through. I will come again. He is speaking surely of the crowning day when he comes to receive his church. The counterpart of his going away is his coming again. He went. He says to his disciples in the previous chapter, yet a little while, and I will leave you, and again a little while, and I come again to be with you. Look at verse 33 in the previous chapter, John 13. Little children, yet a little while, I am with you. Ye seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one for another. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? Notice the difference. He says, I, me. He's been talking in a general sense. Now he makes it very personal. I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus said to him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your Peter heart be troubled. Do you see that? The chapter doesn't necessarily end at verse 38 there, it goes straight on. Jesus is talking to Peter especially. And he says, don't let your heart be troubled because you will deny me. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare that place for you, Peter, I will come again and receive you, Peter, to myself. And what he was saying in the particular and specific sense to Peter, he was saying to all the disciples and therefore on and to us. He comes again in order that where I am, you may also be. Wherever Christ is, there are believers. There are believers. Wherever the Lord Jesus Christ is, turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation with me for a minute or two, will you? And let's look together at chapter 14 in particular. In the 14th chapter and verse 1, you will discover these very precious words. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. If you'll turn the page again to the chapter 19, please, you will discover some more words. Look at verse 14 in that 19th chapter. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now turn over to chapter 20, and let's look at verse 4. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. What magnificence! Jesus says, wherever he is, there are believers. Now, the deity of Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord, is not revealed in the miracles he performed. A lot of people go around indicating to us that Jesus reveals his deity in his miracles. I want to say to you, I believe great power was revealed, but not necessarily his deity. They only demonstrate God was working through him. It is the words of Jesus that demonstrate his deity. He said, verse 18, chapter 10 of John, he said, I laid down my life. There is deity. I lay it down. Nobody takes it from me. Jesus said, I lay it down so that I can take it up again to demonstrate, to show the world I am the Son of God. Jesus again tells us through his words in this chapter 14 in verse 3, I go to prepare a place for you. Who can go from earth into heaven and prepare the place? Jesus. What gives him such an entrance? His very deity. This was God made flesh. This was God dwelling among us. You see, if you'll turn your Bibles again to the Gospel of John, I will show you how it was that he taught his disciples the way. Turn, please, to the 8th chapter. Look at the chapter 8 and see verse 19. They say unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye know neither me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Jesus speaks very clearly. Then turn on chapter 10 and look at verse 1, where our Lord Jesus Christ says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Look at verse 7. "Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Look at verse 9, where he says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Cast your eyes to verse 37 and 38, and there you will discover with me, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." See how Jesus teaches with great simplicity his own deity and the fact that he is the way. Turn the page to chapter 12, will you? See verse 26. "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Cast your eye to verse 44, where Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me." Look at verses 49 and 50. "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Jesus revealed himself to be that way, that truth, that wonder that God reveals to the world. Now back into chapter 14 of John, and see again in verse 3 where he says, "I prepare a place for you." Heaven, or the sphere of heaven, is the place that Jesus is speaking of. He says there are many dwelling places in this universe. "I am preparing one such place for you." Now some people think that the Bible definitely teaches that there are people or creatures living in space. I suppose this verse in the original text is the closest to proving that point, though I would not go ahead and say this is proof of the point. But if you're a space age type person, this is a good and interesting verse. Because in the original language, the scripture says this: "There are many dwelling places in the universe. I am going to prepare such a place for you." That's fascinating. In this universe, on this earth, I am continually buffeted by sin. I am continually attacked by Satan. I am continually tempted to go my own way and do my own thing and claim my own rights. But the interesting factor is this. Jesus says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you that has none of this temptation. It has none of these facets. I am preparing a place for you in the universe where you live forever and ever with me. You live forever with the Lord. I am preparing a place in the universe that Satan cannot touch, that sin cannot alloy, that the very fungus and lichen of the hellish experience cannot cling. where the purity of the Godhead is revealed, where the beauty and the purity of Jesus is the very essence of our faith and the very essence of our life. But remember, he that seeth me seeth the Father. How then shall we get to such a place, is the argument of the disciples in John 14. Well, it says, Jesus, you're believing in God. Now you must learn to believe in me. For I am the one that is actually in the process of preparing this place. It starts with my death, and then my burial, and then my resurrection. That is the payment of your sin, so that you can step from the world of sin into this new creation, into this new place that I have prepared for you in the universe, this place of everlasting life. Is it possible then, will the space person will say, that we could reach the place in the universe of everlasting life in a space machine? I doubt it. Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A man that is unconverted and travels in his space machine to a blob that is somewhere in the universe and lands and sets up house there and yet is without Christ, transfers the sinful wretchedness and takes it with him. He transfers it from this orb into another. He carries with it right through the orbits of space his sin. But the person who is loving and trusting Christ, though his body be laid in the grave, he knows this, that that body one day will come together, a glorious body, no longer a suppurating mass in a box in the grave, but now a glorious body that shows the glory of God. Ladies and gentlemen, he is our advocate. And as our advocate, he brings us from a lost estate into one that is found. He is our Savior to introduce us into this new heaven and into this new earth and to be forever with the Lord. See, only now can we see him. With all this background, can we discover him as the way to the Father and the Father's abiding place? Only now do we see him as the truth about the Father and therefore about all creation, all the universe, all being. Only now can we discover this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ as the life, the very life of the Father, the very life of God the Father being stretched out, as it were, poured out into the hearts and minds of men and women. He is the life of the very life of the Father. By him all things consist and hold together. You see, Jesus was going to the Father. He was the way to the Father. He was the truth about the Father. He is the very life of the Father. And if you'll cast your eyes down to verse 6, that's exactly what he said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am. I am. Now look at this. If we analyze those three areas, we discover first of all the way. Jesus shows, Jesus teaches, Jesus guides, because Jesus is the way. He is the way from man to God, from earth to this new place in the universe. He is away from this place that is so common to us, so filled with sin, so glorious in its beauty and makeup, but so wretched in its weeds and its disease and its awfulness and the results of sin. But Jesus is the way to take us from this orb into that orb, Jesus is the way to take us from this place into that place in the universe that He has prepared for us. Will you notice? Jesus is the truth. Turn to the 18th chapter of John with me, please, for a moment. Look with me at verse 38. Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them all, "I find no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man." We don't want to leave this earth. Sometimes people come crying in, and I am not so sure that I can always enter into the experience that they want me to enter into. They say, "Pray for this person, pray for that person, they're about to die." And I am not sure that I can truly pray, "Lord, let these people stay on this earth." Hezekiah lived such a righteous life. He was such a godly man. He was such a fine king. He was such an upstanding man. He was such a strong fellow for the things of God. And God blessed him and said, "Your reward, Hezekiah, I am so pleased with the way you've lived. I am so pleased with the attitudes you've exuded to other people. I want to reward you, and your reward is you're going to die and come to heaven." He said, "Oh no, God, don't let me die." He turned his face to the wall. He wept a long time. And God said, "All right, you've got 15 more years." In 15 more years, Hezekiah became proudful, boastful. He became a wrong man. Maybe it's time to die. Maybe it's time to die. We assume an enormous amount. We say, "Pray, he mustn't die." There is a time to be born. There is a time to die. But you say, "Preacher, now hold on, listen. Read this scripture, please. Enter into the scripture. Understand the scripture." Jesus said, "If your body is laid in the ground, if your body is there, it's only going to return to dust. That's all that's happening. You will go from that death scene into the presence of Jesus." And he says this, "Listen, I am there preparing the place for you." What a place. What a place. A place that is personal and just for you. And the truth is that Jesus loves you with an everlasting love and will take you to that place. Know it. Jesus said, "I go to prepare that place for you." And the truth is that He has done it. I die now. I go to a prepared place. All prepared. If I want to go and visit my mother in England or my brother, I would write them a letter and say, "I will arrive on such and such an airplane. Please meet me." They'll be there, big smiles on their faces, I hope. And they'll be visiting with me. "Here he is," they'll say. And I'll walk off and we'll hug each other and we'll get into a car and drive away. And when I get to the house, wherever it is I'm going to stay, the room will be polished and clean and the bed will have clean linen on it. It's all prepared for me. For me. For me. I was to stay at a farm one time. I was the visiting preacher. I was to preach there over the Easter weekend, which started on Good Friday. And I walked into a sumptuous room and sunk into a sumptuous bed. It was a beautiful place, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself. You can imagine my mortification when I discovered that the parents of the household had moved out of their room and were sleeping in the dining room in chairs because the preacher had to have the best room in the house. But when I get to heaven, the best room in the house has been prepared by Jesus. Hey, come on. Don't you see Jesus is saying, this universe, this terra firma, this earth, with all its glories, is nothing compared with what I have prepared. This is nothing compared with what you can anticipate. If you think this world is beautiful, if you think this country is great, if you think the experience in this earth is magnificent, think what it will be when you're with Jesus in the place that is prepared. Are you going to be there? Jesus said, I'm the truth about this. I am the truth. And then he goes on and says, I am also the life, not the breath, not the soul, not the outward manifestation of living, but life as opposed to death. I am the life as opposed to death. He isn't the breath. He isn't just the soul. He isn't those things. He is life as opposed to death. Can you see the great climax there? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The way brings us to God. The truth makes men free for God. And the life produces fellowship with the triune God. Precious, precious is the truth. And precious is the way. When Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, he was not using adjectival clauses. These are not adjectives. These are nouns. He said, my name is way. My name is truth. My name is life. For in this place that I have prepared, in this place, you have life. I go to prepare this, for I am. I am. Let's bow in prayer. Ah, gracious God, we thank Thee for the truth of Thy Word. Oh, we thank Thee for the might and the power of it. We ask that Thou would enter into our hearts that nothing shall be lost. Oh, Lord, hold us tightly now. Keep us gently now. Oh, Father, we ask that in this congregation there may be men and women who will be able to say with all their hearts, thank you, Lord, for preparing such a place for me. In the quietness of this place, our Father, we say thank you, Lord. The cost was enormous, Thy death. When we think of that suffering, we're shattered to consider that all of that was necessary because of our sin. The resurrection was wondrous, and we find ourselves excited that Thou art risen from the dead. And we thank Thee for going to prepare a place for us. So, Father, we ask that Thou would gather us up in the everlasting arms that are underneath and all around. And we ask it in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.